I'm Steve Potter, and coming up later on Cityscape, Bug Chef Jamie Niekase will share some favorite recipes. It's all part of the St. Louis Science Center's multisensory exhibition that will immerse you in the world of insects while examining the impact of bugs on their surroundings, the environment, and on human lives. But first, an opera that features a cast ranging in age from 9 to 16 is set 400 years in the future. Allison Felter is Director of Education and Community Engagement at Opera Theater St. Louis. Vince Lee conducts, and Doug Schultz Carlson directs. And we welcome you all to Cityscape.
Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Allison, this opera was originally commissioned by Opera Theater, correct?
That's correct. We did that in the 1990s, and the inspiration for the opera actually came from kids. We wanted to know back then what was important to them, and it was the environment. And I would probably say today you would come up with perhaps the same answer, that the environment is something very much on their minds.
Or should be.
It should be.
So that's part of the idea, isn't it, to not only introduce young people to opera, but also to environmental issues, which are so important.
Absolutely.
These days.
And opera takes you on all kinds of journeys, so this is one.
So Doug Schultz Carlson, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I actually worked with Opera Theater St. Louis 4 years ago when we did a production of Brundabar, which was another children's opera. So that was my first introduction down here.
And you
here.
Work with the rep, too, here.
Yes, that's right. I played Dromio in the Comedy of Errors at St. Louis Rep 2 years. Is that 2 years ago? Two years ago, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You're currently Artistic Director of the Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona, Minnesota?
Winona, Minnesota, yeah.
Where's that? I don't know.
Yes. Well, it's on the Mississippi River, just a little further upriver, just at the corner of Minnesota.
Okay. Vince, as a bit of background, you spent 3 seasons with the Cincinnati Symphony.
Yes.
As assistant conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're currently on the staff of both the Philadelphia Orchestra and the Dallas Symphony.
Yes. In fact, I was just in Dallas to open their season in September as an assistant. And as soon as our final show finishes, I hop on a plane and go back to Dallas for another week.
Well, good. I hope you're enjoying St. Louis.
Oh, having a fantastic time.
Well, so this production was originally commissioned by Opera Theater. So has it been produced here before?
It has. This is actually the third production that the company has done, and this is technically the second new production. We revisited the original 2 times in the 90s, and it was time to break it out again. And it's interesting how far we've come environmentally from when we commissioned the work to present day.
We'll talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think we're discovering, at least in the concept of how we are realizing the set, we wanted to sort of figure out what would a future world look like and what kind of decimation has happened and how to realize that. And if you think about what kinds of things we might leave for our future descendants, plastic bottles might come to mind. And so we have actually created a set using that element as a major piece.
You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and there was sort of an environmental thing going on then. What about kids today? Is that on their top list of concerns?
You know, I think it is. It is on their radar. You know, certainly how much garbage and stuff there is around. The other theme that we found that was interestingly and perhaps a little bit unintentionally put into the opera when it was done in 1992 is there's a theme about how we use technology. Some of the things that happen in the opera that were supposed to happen 400 years in the future, as they wrote it in 1992, are already happening. For instance, the teacher takes role in the classroom just by punching a screen rather than actually calling out the names of the students. And in 1992, that seemed very futuristic. Now that's every classroom in the country. So we have a little bit of a theme in the opera of kids interacting with their technology and then learning by going outside and interacting with the environment to interact with each other.
Yeah, I mean,
well.
I remember when like cell phones were only on Star Trek.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And so we're all flipping a device in our hands. So
yeah.
It's very common.
Talk a little bit about the music, Vince, and I know you brought along a sample.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like any good opera, the music sets the stage for what's happening dramatically. And the futuristic classroom, very stark, angular, sharp lines, and the music very much fits that. Minimalistic, efficient. The opening classroom scene is based around a 2-bar ostinato. But then when the kids find this green thing, all of a sudden the music becomes lyrical and gorgeous. And I know the first example is the lead character, Amy, has this plant in her bedroom. And she's been admonished to leave the plant behind, but she secretly takes it with her. And so this aria stems from her wonder at this thing she's never seen before in her life, and the music very much matches that.
Opera Theater of St. Louis presents A Very Last Green Thing, two performances only, a week from Saturday the 26th at UMSL's Two Hill Performing Arts Center. We're talking with Allison Felter, Director of Education and Community Engagement with Opera Theater. Vince Lee is the music director and conductor. Doug Schultz-Carlson is the director of this production. And it sounds like that was recorded at rehearsal or the last production or
it
something.
It was. It was a live performance, actually. So
yeah. And the voice we heard, I mentioned that the cast ranges in age from 9 to 16. Is that the voice of a 16-year-old?
In that case, yes. In this current production, we are envisioning a much younger Amy, so you'll hear a younger voice.
Let's talk a little bit about the storyline, if we could. You mentioned it briefly, I think, Doug, that the opera begins in a classroom 400 years in the future, 2413.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's actually a pretty straightforward story. The people from the present day have created a time capsule and they've buried it outside. Then we discover our students from the future in the classroom. They decide to go outside and have a field trip. When they go outside, they discover this time capsule and they discover a number of things in the time capsule that causes them to interact with each other in a different way than they're used to interacting.
And why is this girl, why is she discouraged about bringing along the green thing, the plant?
We're never really quite clear about that. The android who is their teacher, they have an android teacher rather than a human teacher, is very afraid of something that would be alive, that would be, that would cause the kids to interact in a different way. The android is much more comfortable with a world that is very sharp, very angular. Kids are dealing with each other through their devices.
Because androids don't deal with emotion, do they?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So when Amy, our main character, discovers the plant, she realizes there might be something more to the world. The aria we just heard, she sings in her bedroom where she's thinking about it. And then she brings this plant back to the classroom. And in the final scene, having the plant in the classroom actually causes the android himself and all of the kids to go through a major transformation.
Vince, let's sample some more music. What have you brought?
Sure. So you're going to now hear the opening of scene 4. And you have several recurring themes throughout the production. So you hear the introduction music from the first classroom scene in scene 1 coming back here in scene 4. And then the music's going to slow down, and they're going to return to the music that was happening during their field trip in scene 2. And you'll hear that the music shifts again, very angular, very minimalistic. Thank you.
Opera Theater of St. Louis presents The Very Last Green Thing next Saturday at the Two Hill. We're talking with Allison Felter from Opera Theater, also conductor Vince Lee and director Doug Schultz Carlson. So that's from scene four. And it's the whole thing sort of wraps up at the end, right, involving the children from our age and the children from 400 years from now that are singing together.
Yeah, they eventually, the children from our time eventually bring in more plants so that the children from the future can actually experience something real in the world rather than just experiencing the world through the devices that they've been seeing everything through up to this point.
It's got to be interesting working with kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, nine's pretty young.
It is very young, and yet we have really high standards, and they really hit those marks.
I noticed they come from all over the metro area, everywhere from, I don't know, St. Charles County to the Metro East.
Exactly.
And everywhere in between. How did you find them?
Well, we kind of cast a broad net, had an open audition back in May, and we chose the best of what we heard. So it's a little bit of potluck, a little bit of good luck, and we work closely, too, with the St. Louis Children's Choirs. They have been very generous in identifying some of the students that we've been working with.
So, Doug, you're directing. Is the cast entirely the age group that I mentioned?
We do have one young artist. We have a young artist by the name of Daniel Brevik, who has sung on the main stage at Opera Theater St. Louis. So he is a little bit older, but he actually does a great job joining in with the kids and participating just like any other member of the cast.
And who's performing the music, Vince?
Well, we have a three-piece orchestra, a piano, cello, and percussion. And the cello and percussion parts were actually written with young performers in mind. And throughout my career, I've been a big advocate of giving young artists a chance to perform. And being able to give 17 kids on stage, and then we have our cellists is just out of college, our percussionist is from high school, and they're all doing just a remarkable job with the material.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for them. Let's talk about the whole, in the few minutes we have remaining, about the whole Going Green concept, which is part of this. There are lots of things like the paper, the programs are printed on. You mentioned the whole water bottle thing. There are other elements too, right?
Yeah, theater often is an art form, strangely enough, that creates a lot of waste. We build our sets, we use them for a few days, and then they end up in the dumpster afterwards. And sometimes the materials that we're using to build the sets out of, we use, you know, a lot of foam and plastic and toxic paints and all kinds of things because we want to get a very specific look on stage. So we're trying to do something different in this process. So the water bottles are a major element. Most of those water bottles, about a third of the water bottles, are ones that are actually collected by the students who are in the show. Oh. They brought them in, they'll be part of the set, and then they'll be recycled afterwards. And then some of them are coming from a company that recycles water bottles, so they're post-consumer water bottles. They'll be in our set, and then they'll go on to be recycled. The rest of our set is built out of honeycomb cardboard, which is a very thick kind of cardboard, which again is biodegradable and is, it's made out of a renewable resource.
And a lot of these things are going to move on to another production somewhere else. You're going to recycle them in that way too.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, that often happens in opera that you'll use your sets over again, but eventually when you get to the end of the life of
a
set.
It's more appropriate here.
It is much more so, yeah.
And also there are some trees. I guess you're using real trees in the production. Those are going to end up in outside somewhere.
Exactly. We submitted a grant to Forest Relief of Missouri, and that's R-E-L-E-A-F of Missouri, and they generously bought into our concept and granted us trees that we will match up with schools who are attending the production.
Well, I think this people should take advantage of this, and although it's sort of designed for young people, it's designed for all audiences.
Absolutely. There are layers of meaning within the opera. It's a beautiful work, and people can call the Two Hill box office at 314-516-4949 for tickets.
Or just go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape
page.
That
would work, too.
And that'll be easy. They'll have a link to that. Opera Theater of St. Louis presents The Very Last Green Thing, two performances only next Saturday, the 26th, at 10 in the morning and at 11:30 a.m., at UMSL's Two Hill Performing Arts Center Theater. And we want to thank you all for being here. That's Allison Felter from Opera Theater. Vince Lee is the music director and conductor. And Doug Schultz Carlson is the director. And we thank you all for being here. And also, this will show up on HEC TV. People can watch it online.
That's correct. Tuesday, October 22nd, 11 a.m., a live broadcast.
Allison, Vince, Doug, thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Coming up next, The Bug Chef and Harry's Big Adventure. This is St. Louis Public Radio.